There are times in life when we are driven to sit up and take note. It may be an event or something we see, hear, or read. Often it may be bad news, such as a mass shooting or a natural disaster like the recent hurricane which destroyed some of the islands of the Bahamas. In many ways, though, we have become hardened to such news or happenings, for we live in a time of turmoil and divisiveness, where the negative extremes become the norm, so very little, if anything, is able to get our undivided attention. Life just seems to rumble on. This all may lead us to determine that everything is on the slippery slope into hopelessness. Of course, thankfully, there are still those positive things which makes us sit up and take note. We have those personal experiences which get our attention and which gives us some joy and happiness. We may find these moments perhaps in the reading of a good book or seeing an outstanding entertainment performance, or in a time we share a relationship with which is particularly meaningful to us. But there are still those things, both negative and positive, which may come suddenly or unexpectedly, which makes us really stop and take note. They just may hit us at the right time. This past week I had one of these moments in beginning to prepare for today's sermon. As usual, I first read the gospel, then the epistle lesson, and then the Old Testament lesson, and finally the psalm. I admit that many times I never get to the Old Testament lesson or the psalm, for I'm struck with what I read in the two New Testament readings. But this was not to be the case this week. Upon turning to the prophecy of Habakkuk, the Old Testament lesson, I first thought, what good can come out of a prophet with such a name, Habakkuk, who lived several thousand years ago and often spoke in ways unaccustomed to our ears? But I read it anyway. When I read it, I paused and said to myself, did I read what I think I read? So I read it again, and then again. Then I had that moment which caught my undivided attention. The ancient writing could very well be that of a news commentator or news article of today. I could be reading a social media blog. This, of course, is in light of the constant, daily, devastating break in current national and world news. Just listen again. Just listen to the prophet. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not listen? or cry to you, violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law becomes slack and justice never prevails. The wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, judgments come forth perverted. This is a description of a society, of a people who were hopelessly lost in the midst of wrongdoing, corruption, injustice, lawlessness, and the lack of being able to make truthful and sound judgments. This was a society being torn apart from within and threatened by the hostile nation of Babylonia. It was the signal of a once proud people seemingly headed for disaster and without a future. The prophet laid out the case that God had forgotten the cries of his children. Therefore he said, I will stand at my watchpost and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he still say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaint. Habakkuk was clearly waiting for God to clean up the mess which the people had made. Habakkuk was clearly looking for God to wave his magic wand over the situation and make it all better. The answer which came back to the prophet was a mixed message of hope and despair. When the situation was placed in the proper perspective, the message was, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so that a runner may read it. The answer thus called for complete transparency so that all may know and understand. The message continues, for there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them, but the righteous live by their faith. In other words, do not lose hope, for there still remains a vision for the people of Israel. It may not come in the time span which may be desired and bring an end to their past glory. It will not come to those who have taken pride in their wrongdoing, but will be made known to those who have lived a righteous life through faith. Those who did not succumb to the corrupt and lawless society and the dictates of the proud will find that God had not forgotten them. Habakkuk gave hope in what he was and would become a seemingly hopeless situation and condition, the Babylonian exile, taking people from their homeland and spreading them across the Mideast. They would become a dispersed people for years until the political climate changed and many returned to the land of their ancestors. During times of turmoil, unrest, and divisiveness, perhaps just like Habakkuk found in his people, there is the need to somehow clear our heads from our often misguided loyalties and be governed by the truth and reality. I guess this is where we find ourselves today, and we'll find in days and weeks and months ahead. A tragic situation. The ancient prophet Habakkuk could have been describing our current trials as a society. But then I went on to read the psalm, Psalm 37, which presented even deeper insight into man's downfalls and what could become the downfall of today's society. Listen carefully to what he wrote. Do not be provoked by evildoers. Do not be jealous of those who do wrong. For they shall soon wither like the grass, and like the green grass fade away. Put your trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and find safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, who shall give your heart's desire. Commit your way to the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord and see what God will do. The Lord will make your vindication as clear as the light and the justice of your case like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently. Do not be provoked by the one who prospers, the one who succeeds in evil schemes. Refrain from anger. Leave rage alone. Do not be provoked. It leads only to evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord shall possess the land. The words of the psalmist not only speak to the conditions of the Jews just prior to their exile, but also speak to us at this time of extreme divisiveness and loss of any kind of ability to think clearly without predetermined answers. Being provoked by evil and evil schemes can only lead us into evil's grasp. Anger and rage cannot take control of one's life, for that will in and of itself lead to further evil. Falling into the trap of evil will only muddy the waters of finding solutions. Instead, our minds must remain free to see and understand the truth. In this, there is hope. There is little doubt that the days, weeks, and months ahead will be extremely trying for our nation and perhaps the world community. We may even at times lose any hope for the future. Our once prideful nation is experiencing the possibility of not being any kind of example of the freedom throughout the world. This will be a test for us all to look deeper in order to disseminate between fact and fiction, lies and truth. We must honestly confront the false loyalties which cloud our thinking, both on the right and on the left. We must avoid playing the game that lies because fact and fact becomes lies. During times like this, it's not very easy to live through without becoming a part of the problem. Paul, in his personal letter to Timothy, gives insight into this. Timothy was in a leadership position within the early church. As a result of this, he had to struggle with not only the inner turmoil which leaders experience, but also the external pressures of being constantly challenged and confronted with the possibility of persecution, both physically and socially. This is when Paul steps in to give encouragement to his fellow follower of Christ. Paul wrote, "For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and live in life of self-discipline." Paul's words are directed to us. They're directed to us during this time of turmoil. We are to encourage each other to recognize the power of God's presence so that we may set the example of love and self-discipline during this tumultuous time. In this, we will discover the hope which the prophet of old, the psalmist, and the good news of the Gospels assure us. We owe it to ourselves as individuals and as a collective society. We owe it to ourselves to stop blaming each other. We owe it to ourselves to start encouraging each other, to live up to the spirit of God's presence within us. And then we can be assured. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Amen.